1 o'clock on an overreaction Monday means one thing and one thing only. And before I tell you what it means, Le'Veon Bell went one pick after Gavin Escobar, not Tyrone Crawford.
And that's why we're all excited about the Cowboys having the fourth draft pick all throughout the draft.
Yeah, because they're going to take Escobar over Le'Veon Bell. But anyway, Nate Newton is what that music and noise means. Let's bring the six-time Pro Bowler in here. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
We're great, Nate.
Just doing great, Nate. Nate is a little mad at me. Nate had kind of a bit of an insane laugh going yesterday because after the pregame show, Nate will go in there comfortably and watch the Cowboys game in the what do you call that space?
The break room.
The break room.
Every office has a break room.
Yeah. Nate likes to concentrate and be by himself. Either that or he hates me and wants to get away from me. But after they got down 21-0 yesterday, I came up to Nate and I said, Nate, can you believe what a clever coaching job this is? How they cleverly got down 21-0 and then Cousins goes out of the game and now they can fight scratch and claw and nobody will be the wiser. And just genius coaching. And Nate started laughing like an insane man. He goes, get out of here. Get out. I mean, what was so crazy about that notion, Nate?
Yeah, man, because, I mean, you the look you had on your face, you were serious. I'm thinking, like, wow, man, he's talking about the clever coaching job, and I'm trying to figure out where's the clever coaching job when you drop that bomb on me. Man, how they were losing, I'm like, wow, man. It was just funny, man, because you had me going there. Because I'm like, where is he going with this?
Nate, I want to let you know, this is actually an honest question, okay? And it's going to sound loaded, but it's not. Should an NFL team, NFL players, get credit for fighting and clawing and scratching?
No, you only get credit for winning or losing. If you can get credit when you lose, I don't know. But you only get credit for when you win, brother. You know, the great John Madden said, give me a bad loss any day over – I mean, give me a bad win over a moral victory or moral loss. I mean, it just – you never can gain anything in this league and in this society by losing.
Okay, then a quick follow-up. Do the players in the locker room listen to what the coach says after the game to the media? Do they read what the coach has to say? And what kind of impact does that have?
Today's players do. They read. They listen to everything they say. They want to know if they're getting pointed out or getting called out. They want to know what people think of them. So the players do. They really pay attention to that. They may say they don't, but they're listening to the coach to make sure they ain't getting called out.
Nate Newton joins us every Overreaction Monday. This is our last one of another season, 4-12, and we're going to be left with all the residue and all the discussions going forward. Nate, I want to start with a very simple question that you may or may not choose to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You ready?
Mm-hmm, ready.
What is your confidence level with Jason Garrett moving forward?
Probably about a 7. Out of a 10, right about a 7. My thing is, I've been listening to you guys, and I told you this yesterday. The same things that Jason Garrett had before the 12-4 deal, he still has. You know, everybody want to say, oh, he's this, he's this, he's this, he's that. But the same Jason Garrett that was 8-8 for them 2 or 3 years, that was 12-4 last year, that is 4-12 this year, it's the same guy. It's the same guy. Now, I will tell you what I feel that Coach Garrett has to do, and he has to do in a hurry. That is, understand when you don't have top-quality players, you got to put them in a better position. And I just think that, I believe that. If he was a quarterback to me and say, hey, Nate, I heard what you said on the radio, and I'll tell him, Jason, that don't change. Man to man, behind your back, or whatever. I think that a lot of those games that were very, very close like that, sometimes you as a coach have to be a difference maker. You have to see, like, okay, well, he had his hand on this one here, and you can really tell, you know, and I just believe that.
Okay, you know what? You just put that very well. That's exactly the way I feel about it, Nate, is that, well, it's not the way you feel about it. Look, I don't think he's a difference. If everything goes great, he's fantastic. If everything's perfect, if players don't get hurt, I think he's a quality head coach. There's no doubt about that in my mind. You know, if you have the season like you had last season, you're 12-4 with Jason Garrett. He's very capable and is probably one of the better head coaches to have in that situation. Okay, because he's going to steer that ship very well. He's going to do a great job. But when he has to be a difference maker, can he be that difference maker?
And that's what this year showed, that this is the final deal. I can name you. Andy Reid is not a very good time management guy. Tom Coughlin has proved that he can fail on the time management deal. That time management is a tricky thing. But when it comes time that when you have five or six games that is coming down to the wire every week, you're going to have to win one or two of those games as a coach. You're going to have to say, wow, man, he made a great move there. He made a smart move. And I think that is what Jason Garrett, when you listen to the Tony Romo hits that you said where he did, you know, we listen to Tony Romo on y'all show that what Tony said, okay, that's great to say that. But show me where that happened, where he did that great job. Okay, you can fight, scratch, and claw all you want. But if you're losing, I mean, you're just like a bunch of crabs in the bottom of a bucket. Nobody never gets out because all you're doing is scratching and clawing and fighting against each other. You know, you ain't never stopped and thought, hey, if I grab his back and crawl across him and the next guy grab my back and crawl across him, eventually we'll get out the bucket.
Nate Newton on with us, Overreaction Monday. Nate, you're the GM now. You're making those decisions. Jerry is over at Jerry World talking to the wrestling guy, Vince McMahon or something. So you're now the GM. Are you bringing Hardy back?
It just all depends on what I feel my biggest needs are and what is he willing to accept, because he didn't have that dynamite 10-sack, 11-sack year. He had a lot of quarterback hurries and stuff like that. He led the league team in that, which I value a whole lot. But you was looking for the impact of the sacks for him. So you know, if they deem that he's a price reasonable and he's willing to work, his agent willing to work with Jared, I think they'll be glad to have him back, because at this point, if we don't have him back, then we fall back into the status of right now. It's looking like cornerback, besides quarterback, let's take quarterback out of the picture. Cornerback right now is the biggest need. And the next biggest need will fall to defensive line if you don't bring Hardy back. So then the next need would be defensive line. And then to me, it's a tie between running back, and I need me a DeSean Jackson type wide receiver.
I'm with you on all that. Now I want you to go back to being the left guard. Do you see on tape Hardy being a handful still? Is this the guy that you would have had a lot of trouble with?
Yeah. If I
left tackle,
Hardy,
actually.
If I'd have played the Hardy that didn't, if he wouldn't have missed those 15 games, we wouldn't even be talking about Hardy, because he would be in Carolina. But he missed the 15 games, and plus the four with the guys. He never had that basic foundation up on him, that endurance, that ability. Because, like I tell people, when you miss that many games, you know, unless you the freaky guy like Adrian Peterson, that happens. You know, it's like a big major injury. I think the Hardy, if he's on, is not on this team, but if he's on somebody's team next year, you'll see a different type guy. I just really believe that.
All right, and finally, Nate, as we say goodbye for our Overreaction Mondays, if we are going to take the assumption – see, I don't want to take the assumption that everybody failed this year. Name me one guy, Nate, that you think did not fail in this 4-12 season for the Cowboys.
Sean Lee.
There you go.
Sean Lee didn't fail.
You got
that's
one, too, Freedom?
That's
Chris Jones?
That's why Jerry will look out for him. Him and the kicker didn't fail. Sean Lee and the kicker.
So you think Jerry will give him a little bit of cash for losing the $2 million?
I don't want to say that, because, you know, I don't want to be the person that says, Nate says Jerry going to do something wrong or illegal. But I just think that they'll find a way, if it's possible, to make it okay for Sean Lee.
Yeah, Jerry will run into you in the hallways and say, Nate, why don't you give Sean the million?
Steve and I are talking about having a telethon, Nate, having maybe doing 24 hours of radio trying to raise money for Sean Lee.
It's going to be all right, fellas. You can crack the jokes or whatever, man, but y'all got another hour or so of overreaction, okay?
Nate, we'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, man, and don't be so hard on Borkins, man. Don't take a swing at a cop, though. Please don't.
There you go. There you go. Nate Newton, we loved him all season long on Overreaction Mondays.